Welcome to the Millennial Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Bald, aka the Content King. Now, millennials have been known to shake up any industry they touch, and the legal field is really no different. With a market oversaturated with attorneys and more millennials continuing to enter the workforce, I wanted to create this podcast to explore the traditional and not so traditional career paths taken by millennial lawyers. Thank you for joining me on our second episode of the Millennial Lawyer Podcast. This episode is all about hashtag going solo, aka hanging out your shingle, starting your own practice, whatever the hell you want to call it. Making this move is rare among millennial attorneys. Most law grads these days choose to work for someone else instead of opening up their own shop. So the question is, can it be done? The answer is yes, a hard yes, and I've got the proof for you. With me today is millennial attorney Chadwick Myers. Thanks so much for coming on, Chad.
It's great to be here, Brennan.
So after law school, Chad went solo. He started his own practice. He said, forget what everyone else is doing. I'm going to be my own boss. He's now the sole owner of Myers Law in Nashville, Tennessee. He specializes his practice on civil litigation issues involving personal injury and wrongful death, but his bread and butter is funeral home negligence cases involving mishandling of human remains. More on that later. He started his practice from scratch and has grown it into a successful business. So Chad, tell us a little bit about your background. Let's start there. Where are you from and why did you go to law school?
So I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I grew up there. My father owned a funeral home corporation where he, you know, was very, very involved in the community. So that kind of gave me the idea that I knew I wanted to start my own practice, and I saw him helping people. Being involved in that that area of business made me realize that, you know, I really didn't want to be a funeral director. So I decided to, you know, go to law school, and I went to law school in Nashville at Nashville School of Law.
So let's take it from there. So why Nashville? I know you're from Kansas City. Nashville's a fun area. What brought you here?
So, you know, growing up, my mom actually grew up in Franklin, Tennessee. She went to Franklin High School. And always growing up, there was nothing as good as Nashville. I mean, if the Chiefs won and the Titans, you know, won as well, you know, the Titans played better than the Chiefs. You know, it's just how it was. My mom just always spoke very highly of Nashville. And we came here, you know, at least once a year just to visit and see her friends and things like that. So I grew up just running around on Broadway and things like that. And I love the city. The city is just a great city. It's a booming city. There's always something going on. There's always new people moving here who want to, you know, kind of carve their own paths, if you will. And it's just a great place to start a career. So that's just why I decided to move here and go to law school.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they say over 100 people move here every day, and I'm a part of that statistic. So I know you went to Nashville School of Law. Tell me about your law school experience. What kind of groups, activities, clinics did you partake in?
So my law school experience was pretty good. You know, law school in and of itself is a gloomy time for anybody, I think.
So you've got to
kind of, you know, I guess you would say level yourself out with doing extracurricular. So I did moot court. I did that 2 years. And I tried both personal injury cases. Well, one was specifically a wrongful death case. And that really is kind of where I started to feel that I knew where my practice area was heading. And it just kind of gives you the experience you need to start, you know, figuring out what you want to do. And that's why you have to get involved with extracurriculars. I also did my Rule 7 limited license practice. So when you're halfway done with law school, the government gives you the opportunity to either go to the public defender's office, or you can go to the district attorney's office, or the attorney general's office, or you can go to the U.S. attorney general's office, or the federal public defender's office, and you actually can be a licensed attorney. And it's a limited license because you're supervised. Granted that my supervised license was loose because public defenders, you know, are really spread very thin, it gave me, you know, the opportunity to work in the criminal field and find out that, that I did not want to be involved in criminal law because it just really wasn't something. It was interesting. It was interesting to, you know, have the facts of the case, and it's just not something that really struck me as something I wanted to do my whole life. But what it did get me was invaluable experience and time on my feet in court, to just really know that I'm, as an attorney, I'm about that game time experience of being on my feet in court, ready to go, prepared, because with preparation comes comfort. And when you're comfortable in court, you're the only one that can mess it up. So
absolutely. It sounds like you had a lot of practical experience in law school that obviously helps you if you're going to start your own practice pretty quickly after law school. Did you know while you were in law school that you wanted to start your own shindig and start your own practice? Or tell me a little bit about that. When did you start thinking that, hey, I can do this on my own?
So I think I just had kind of an inkling. So I have a mentor, his name's Eddie Davidson, who he has been on his own for a long time. And he I never take a case without running it by him, but even through law school, I hung out with him a lot, and he was actually one of my moot court professors as well, and he's a close family friend. So seeing him work and have his cases and talk to me about his cases through law school gave me the idea that, hey, maybe I feel like that's something I want to do. I want to be my own boss. I want to be my own attorney, take my own cases and all that. And then also, whenever I graduated, I started taking these informational interviews. I know people weren't hiring, but I reached out to, you know, just so many, you know, name partners at firms. And I met with a guy who has his own firm here, who your brother actually hooked me up with. And we went and grabbed beers. And he was just very much like, you know, Chad, I could not stand for somebody telling me that I couldn't take 4th of July off. I'll never forget he said that. He's like, if I want to leave and go plant some, you know, like he said, if I want to leave and go plant some plants in my garden and then go back to the office, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm not going to sit in the office for 8 hours a day doing, you know, nothing just to punch a clock. And if I want to take off early for 4th of July, I do it. If I have my cases done, if I've got my stuff together, then I can do that. And that really just stuck with me because, you know, I feel like to be a great attorney, you have to have kind of a loose leash. You can't be forced to do work every single day. You have to want to sharpen your skills as an attorney. And if, you know, if you've got so much, yeah, if you have yourself forced to do something every single day, you're not gonna love it, and you're not gonna want to get better at it. And that's really what he kind of instilled in me and told me, if I want to be a great attorney, I have to love what I do. And to love what you do, you have to want to sharpen your skills.
So being an entrepreneur and wanting to do something on your own is the ideal American dream. But for some reason, it's evaded law students. I think law students are very risk averse. I think law school trains people to get jobs. They say, what are you going to do to get jobs? You need to go to on-campus interviews, you need to get XYZ internships just to get any kind of legal job you want. But it may not be in the practice area that that person enjoys. So how did you know? I know you worked in a funeral home with your family and you had experience with some funeral home negligence issues, and you did some of that in law school, and you were able to weed out some practice areas with your practical experience and your law school extracurriculars. So how did you pick your practice area? And what advice would you give for law students who don't really know what practice area they want?
Absolutely. And you make a great point in terms of, you know, people having to take the first option that comes to them as an attorney. I just think that's terrible. I think there's nothing worse that you can do as a law student or an attorney is take the first job that comes to you because you have to pay the bills. I know some people really don't have a choice, but it's just a terrible thing to do. You know, we have all these law school debts, we have, you know, undergraduate debts. Some people are paying as much as $2,000 a month just to keep up with their law school bills and get them paid off. But it's just, you can't become complacent, because if you become complacent, you're going to hate your job. And I know so many people that are in big law or took jobs right out of law school because they had to. And they're continuously looking. They're like, well, you know, in 5 years, I'll maybe go out on my own. Well, you know, and then we'll see what happens. Well, no, you should have done that when you came out of law school. You should have, you know, figured out what you wanted to do in law school and not taken the first option, because now you're going to become complacent. just don't ever become complacent, because there's nothing worse you can do. You have to always want to sharpen your skills. And if you take a job that you hate right out of law school just to pay the bills, that's just setting yourself up to be a terrible attorney.
So you mentioned the importance of trying to figure out what you enjoy doing while you're in law school. What are things that law students can do to get experience or get knowledge about different practice areas? I know you had mentors and you did different internships. What do you recommend law students doing?
Like I said before, you need to do at least 1 year of moot court. And also, if you have the opportunity, use your limited license. I feel like people don't use it enough. That's literally giving you a license to be an attorney. And, you know, you have invaluable time on your feet in court. If you have an opportunity to go into a big firm and be an intern or a summer associate and find that you really love to be a corporate transactional attorney and that's what you love to do, and then do that. I'm not saying go out on your own because, you know, that's the only option. I'm saying find what you love to do. And if you can, you know, be involved with extracurriculars, you know, be involved in the Bar Association. Even when you're in law school, you don't have to graduate law school and be an attorney to be involved with the Bar Association, or be on the Bar Journal, you know, or your law school's law reviews. And that'll give you the opportunity to kind of get into different practice areas and figure out what it is that you love to do. If you know that you want to do commercial real estate, find a commercial real estate firm, reach out to their partner and say, hey, I'll work for free. I'll work for free, you know, 2 days a week and just figure out if that's what you want to do.
So I think it's very, very important for law students to take control of their own destiny. Like you said, you need to be in control, be a Rule 7 attorney, a licensed attorney, do moot court, do trial court, take as many informational interviews as you can just to figure out what you may like.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, I know going solo is no easy task, and that could be part of the reason why a lot of law students don't want to do that. They would rather collect a 9-to-5 and call it a day. So you've been solo for a short while after law school. What difficulties did you experience? Are there any roadblocks or anything that you really found that was difficult for you along the way in your first year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of anxiety in going out on your own. I will be 100% honest with you. There's a lot more work entailed in starting your own law firm than meets the eye. I had to, you know, join networking groups. I had to get a website put up. I mean, I had to do things like register for taxes, make my LLC. You know, it's just there's a lot more that meets the eye, and the anxiety and the stress just kind of builds up on you. But it's important, as a solo practitioner, not to let the anxiety and the stress weigh down on you, just to use it to drive yourself to be a better attorney. It's important to keep your overhead low. You know, whenever I started, that's what so many solo attorneys told me. You know, you don't have to go get a fancy office. You don't have to spend a lot of money on your office equipment. You just have to wait to get your foot in the door, get a good case, and then maybe if you settle a good case, then take some of that money, put it back for your overhead, pay your rent with it, get yourself some nice office equipment. But that's probably the biggest thing I can tell people is to have a business plan, know what it's going to take to start a solo firm. There's so much that goes into it that people can't really tell just by looking at going solo.
Yeah, when you're working for a firm, your firm's paying for everything. They're paying for your internet. They're paying for your equipment, the papers, the copies, the rent.
Male practice insurance, you know. Your firm, they have an umbrella policy. Now, I have to have my own male practice insurance. I have to have my own IOLTA accounts, credit cards, operating accounts, my own computers, my own pens, like just everything, my own business cards, everything I have to get myself. And I don't have, you know, a big firm paying for it for me. And there's nothing wrong with having a big firm paying it for you, but you just have to know that if you go solo, those are things that you got to take care of yourself.
So keeping your overhead low is crucial, as well as having mentors, like you said, mm-hmm. can really help you along the way. I know you mentioned, tell me a little bit more about your experience with mentors. I know you mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but how crucial were those in you getting started?
My mentors were extremely important because they told me that it's important for me to have an exact practice area. Now, when people start their own solo firms, they think, well, hey, I'll take some family law. I'll take some criminal cases. I'll go get some criminal appointments. I'll do a little personal injury. Well, that just has malpractice written all over it. And you're not going to be a great attorney by doing a little bit of everything. You've got to find an exact area. So for me, like I do personal injury, wrongful death, and funeral home negligence. So a lot of people look at me weird when I say funeral home negligence. They want to hear a little bit more. But like I said, that's probably what I know best. I've got a funeral home case now. And it's just, it's amazing with the facts that just reading the facts in the complaint, I can tell you, well, that he broke that law. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done this. And I can call my dad up and say, hey, you know, do you know anybody in Nashville that knows the laws on this? And he says, yeah, I know this guy. So I called that guy up. It's easy for me to, you know, get in touch with people. And I know exactly how a funeral home should, you know, perform. And if they don't do that, then there should be consequences, because my dad is a very honest businessman, and I see how he handles funerals and people's loved ones in their time of need. And if there's a funeral home out there that's not doing their job, they need to pay for it. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's a great niche area for me to get into, because it's something I'm comfortable with and it's something I grew up around.
I couldn't agree more regarding having a niche. I think nowadays you need to have your specific niche, especially if you're a young attorney, to market yourself in terms of online marketing. You need to be the go-to guy. You have the experience in funeral home negligence cases. You're the funeral home negligence case guy. You Google that, Chad Myers will come up. So we're nearing the end of our podcast here. This is a fantastic podcast. If you're a law student and you're considering going solo, you need to listen to this ASAP. Everything you need to know, from getting your overhead right, having a business plan, having mentors, what you need to do in law school, the anxiety and stress you can expect from this career path, is all in here. You need to listen to this ASAP. But before we go, I want to know a little bit about Chad Myers outside of work. What do you love to do? What are your passions outside of practicing law?
So yeah, I have a lot of passions outside of practicing law, and that's important to have, especially as a solo attorney. Like a lot of solo attorneys, they have to work and they have to pay the bills. But it's important to kind of like put your pen down, close a laptop, go out there, go have a drink with your friends, enjoy life. And in Nashville, it's a great city for me to do that. You know, I have a lot of friends here from law school, and I've got a lot of friends back home. I got a really tight-knit group of friends from high school, and that's really rare. Who've supported me along the way, and my beautiful girlfriend Brooke, who puts up with me when I've had a long day at the office, and I come home and I'm cranky. and I love to golf. I love to try new foods. There's so many restaurants here in Nashville that Brooke and I just love to go try new places to eat. So and I love to work out. I love to be healthy, because I think to work out and have a healthy body means a healthy mind. And if I have a healthy mind, then I've got clients that are getting the best experience with me. And my clients know, you know, unless I win, I don't get paid. And if I don't get paid, I don't eat. So that's what I tell my clients. I'm not on an hourly rate. If I don't win, I don't get paid. So that's how my clients know I'm working for them.
Very important to be well-rounded. I don't think that there's a work-life balance. I think it's all life.
Yeah.
And very important to have passions outside of work, as well as be passionate about your work. So that about wraps up our second episode of the Millennial Lawyer Podcast. Thanks so much for coming on, Chad.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it. Thanks.
So once again, that was Chad Myers, attorney and owner of Myers Law in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you all so much for tuning in to the Millennial Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Bald. Take care, and we really hope you join us next time.